that's funny. When he said we sold our plasma, I thought, no, he sold the TV. So much more meaningful than like part of your body than the TV. TVs can go too, though. Not off limits. All right, usually I was telling Nick that I roam around a little bit if I do speaking stuff. To be constrained up here, I'm like fidgety. So if I started fidgeting a little bit or trailing off of the microphone, just kind of point back towards it. But no, I'm Clay Karstensen. My beautiful wife, Stacy, is here. If you want to pop the first slide up, this is my family. This picture, I was thinking, I picked this picture. It goes along well with the lesson today. On accident. This is not what it looks like all the time. Usually it is far more chaotic. That's my wife, Stacy. My oldest daughter, Macy, right there. She's 8. My youngest daughter, Leah, in the front is 2.5. And then my son, Brant, is 6. So they're in the back right now, partying, hanging out with your kids. So thanks for being so welcoming and so awesome. Today we're down here partially because it's February 19th, it's written in my journal here, God told me, hey, we got to take you to the next level. Our relationship has been a little stagnant. We got to do something different. And I'm like, okay, God, what are we doing? And so every single morning since then, God has been waking me up earlier than I want to get up, and he says, spend time with me.
Come on, Clay.
And this morning right here, one of the things, and I didn't realize it really until I was sitting here this morning, just reflecting on why am I like 5 hours from home right now? Like, you know, this is different. In the kingdom, you're always home, though. In here, there was a thing that God made me write down. It said I wanted to be a different guy. I wanted to be a more devoted follower of Christ. And one of the reasons that he put on my heart was so that I could go and share more good news to more people.
Yeah.
Come on.
I didn't know that would mean hop in a van and drive to Middle Illinois. Is this Middle Illinois?
Yeah.
Middle Illinois. I didn't know what that meant. And he's taken me a couple different places, and I can't tell you how fun it's been. It's been so exciting, and it wouldn't have happened if God wouldn't have made me be obedient to him and to sit down and have those things that morning. So,
come on.
What's the good life? What is that? When I say the word good life, we probably all have a little bit of a visual that pops in our minds, don't we?
Yeah.
Like even if you want to, you can even close your eyes and just think about that. We've got this ideal. You know, we've got this thriving family. Maybe they're in a lavender field.
Wow. No chaos.
They're getting along. We didn't just like have to drag them together to get that picture. No, it's just the picture. The sun's just right. The clouds have, you know, kind of positioned themselves for the perfect photo. Maybe you've got the wealth that you want. Your spouse and your kids are all doing what you want them to do. There's a healthy reflection in the mirror. You like what you see. You have meaningful work. You have fun hobbies. Is this the ideal, this good life that we picture? It's easy, maybe. It's like the last day of vacation, but stretched out for eternity. Oh, like that last day of vacation, you're like, this is the last day I'm here. I am relaxing to the fullest. Like, this is about to be over, but I'm going to stretch this thing out. The good life, is it like that? If you want to know what the good life looks like to a lot of Americans here in this culture that we're in, you can turn to like stock photos on Google. You just kind of type in what you're like. Like this first picture right here, I just typed in house. And apparently that's like the house that you want.
Okay, I see.
Perfect lighting again. There's like a lamp on, I guess. Maybe the irrigation just went off to make everything look perfectly green and wet. Type in money. There's a pile of it. Is that part of the ideal, the good life, the graduation hat, your education? Another side, maybe it's a cup of coffee and there's a phone right next to it and has, I don't know, the latest sports updates or whatever it is. The easy life.
Yeah.
The good life, right?
Come on.
Yeah.
We know those stock photos aren't real, right? Like, how often are your feet in slippers that soft? And how has steam ever came off a cup of coffee that perfect?
Yeah.
I've never seen that. The other thing that's most miraculous about that picture, there's a remote. You can never find the remote. That picture is not real. That's my ideal. Like, I know exactly where that's at. we look at them and we know that those photos aren't real, but I think we each have a set, if we're honest, we each have a set of our own stock photos of this ideal, this good life.
Come on.
This life that we would love to look at and dream about. And they're probably just as ridiculous. Yeah. You know, if we're honest, they may be just as ridiculous. We even have a place in the United States here in Florida. It's called Disney World.
Well.
It's the Magic Kingdom. They stop at nothing to make sure you have everything you need. If you have two kids, 46 snacks a day, you're getting, you know, boom, this is on your ticket. You're getting it. They want everything to be picture perfect.
Come on.
Because it's that way in the fairy tales that we watch in the movies too, right?
Yeah.
I think we all have this magic kingdom, an ideal picture of life. And hopefully, I want you to really hold on to the one that you have in your mind as we get into the message this morning, okay? So if you want to turn with me, grab your Bibles, or you can look up here to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read it off of that. Verses 10 through 12.
Come on,
Clay. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The prophets, the patriarchs of the Old Testament, they were desperately searching for the kingdom of God. When's it coming? What's it going to look like? How is it going to come? The angels were on the edge of their seats wondering how and when the kingdom of God would come to earth. The angels even wondered. They talked about it. Maybe they dreamt about it. I don't know if angels sleep. Maybe they dreamt about it. Maybe they wondered, like, kind of sitting around. Maybe they wondered how God would do it. And maybe they had some redemption theories that they would, you know, kind of trail off with when they were conversating.
Come on.
Maybe God will do this. Maybe it'll happen when. They longed for a glimpse of the Messiah and of the salvation that would come.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Like, that's the truth. That's what God's word says. Mm-hmm. We sit here today and we know how God did it.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
We know how he did it. We know that it was his son's willing sacrifice and the demonstration of power over death and sin that won our salvation on the cross and in that empty tomb.
Yeah.
I emphasize the empty part.
Yep.
The Spirit initiated the kingdom of God at Pentecost, and we know that prophets, they could only dream about that. We actually see and live in what the angels longed to see.
Come on.
That is incredible. We live in God's saving grace as citizens of that kingdom.
Yeah.
Do you understand how amazing it is to be saved and to live in this life in the kingdom of God?
Right.
Do we really get that?
Right.
I think we need to be reminded sometimes, because even though we've been given this kingdom of God, we often chase after these competing kingdoms, don't we?
Yeah.
I know I have. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know I have. I've been caught up in the race. Those magic kingdoms that look good, we think they'll make us happy.
Yeah.
We forget what God has given to us. I've been down that rabbit trail.
Come on.
Go back to your idea of the good life. Okay? Get that image back in your mind. And when you close your eyes and you picture that good life, how many of us see the kingdom of God? That's a gut check for me. Do you believe that a God life is the real good life? Or have we been chasing after these false kingdoms? So there's a lot of authors and there's a lot of people that they promise the good life, right? There's self-help books and podcasts and all these things that this is the secret to it. If you just take these steps, these seven steps, it's always seven. Or if you invest here, you'll get this wealth. Or if you eat this miracle food, you'll have abs like these. I've never made any promises like that. Nor am I qualified to do any, you know, to make any promises like that. But I am qualified to make a promise to you this morning. I'm qualified to make this promise. In Christ, as a soul living in the New Testament era, Okay, you living in the New Testament era, you can have the life that the angels and prophets longed for.
Come on.
They longed for what we live in now.
Amen.
Let me tell you about it. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Turn there with me, please.
Let's go, Clay.
Come on, Clay.
This is amazing. If you don't look up here, that's fine. Close your eyes and think about this. I want to kind of try to, if you had that other idea like I had, I want to try to start to shift that. Amen? Acts 2, 42 through 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And you know what happened next? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen.
That is the good life. That's the God life.
Come on.
I get duped by Satan sometimes, thinking all these other, you know, he's the king, he's the ruler of the kingdoms of the air, is what Scripture says, right? These magic kingdoms, we get duped by them. I know I've been taken down that road where it's like, no, if I just relax, or if I just go on this hunting expedition, this trip, if I can just have 4 hours to myself fishing, I'll be a new guy, and I'll be ready to face the week. That's all garbage, really. We can have hobbies and stuff, and that's all fun. But if our idea of a good life gets hijacked by those things, those selfish desires, that's where the problem comes in.
Yep.
More wealth, less illness. My family's been, I apologize for anybody's kids that we might get sick while we're here. No, just joking. They're doing pretty good. But this, like the last couple weeks, you know, it's just been like, holy cow, a little less illness. I know Joel Nagel, who leads the Lansing Church, his wife just had pretty serious back surgery where she couldn't even lay flat on her back for the last 3 weeks. And when she walked, it was a bad situation. I'm sure he's hoping for less illness, more health, less pain, less soreness. Maybe we think, man, less sacrifices, more leisure, for the love of God, please. Less being bothered and more doing whatever I want.
Oh.
More pleasure. I think that's the good life sometimes. That's where I go. That's the kingdom I long for. Mm-hmm. But do you remember what Jesus came proclaiming in Mark chapter 1, verse 15? He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. See, Jesus, he has revealed to us God's kingdom, God's ideal, the only truly good life. And he came saying, repent and change your ideas about the good life and believe the good news.
Come on.
See, good is like this misused word almost. Like, and somebody had tried to call Jesus good and he said, uh-uh. Ooh, only my Father deserves that. He had clarity of mind about that word, didn't he? See, Jesus has made the good life, his kingdom, available to us. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you living a kingdom life? Or are you simply longing for some other ideal?
Come on.
Some other magic kingdom.
Wow.
When we close our eyes and imagine the good life, this is what we should see. Look around. This is the good life.
Yeah. Yep.
I was talking to Nick on the way over here this morning, and there's been a few different opportunities to be able to do this, and I told him, I said, man, there is nothing that I have done that has made me feel more complete, more fulfilled than sharing the good news.
Yep.
I've tried a lot of other things. The only thing that fulfills you, that gives you great purpose, is to live the good life.
Yeah.
This Acts 2:42 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right here.
Come on.
It's amazing. Acts 2:42. There's no stock photos, you know, of that. Like Acts 2:42. There's no stock photos of that going on. Just real life as a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
You are the stock photo.
Amen. Come on.
Devotion. All in. I want my dreams and my visions to be about how I gave my all to God in the church and how he used me to do something awesome in his name.
Yeah.
Not for any of my glory and for my comfort and my leisure to make me feel good about life. No, for his glory.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to last, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want my picture of the good life to have a Bible open every day.
Yeah.
And scribbled notes, like, you know, scribbled notes like that. The cover, somebody complimented on the cover of this notebook. That's a sheep, in case you're wondering. Like, you know, because I'm just a dumb sheep myself. I want my picture of the good life to have that Bible open every day. Notes scribbled in it. Maybe you have your computer open. You're typing on something. As the Holy Spirit leads me to a new understanding about God.
Right.
And a new depth. Further up and further in. Right? I want long walks spent in prayer and getting to know God and becoming known by him.
Amen.
I want awe and wonders and signs that can only be attributed to God working in my life and the church. And brothers and sisters, the reason I'm like getting a little bit like, almost getting emotional about it is because I've seen it happen so recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've tried so many other things, but it wasn't until I decided to do this,
right,
to live the good life,
come on,
that I began to see God working in miraculous ways in my life.
Right.
I was an undisciplined man, like just struggling to have those mornings, those times with God. My heart was in it. I thought, you know, I'm trying. But man, when I gave it over and I removed these other ideals that I had, that's when it got real.
Yeah.
God, I want what you want,
yeah,
not what I want anymore. I want to be able to close my eyes and dream of giving to those in need instead of piling up stuff for myself. Sell the plasma and the TV. It's all stuff you can't use anyhow. I want to close my eyes and dream of giving to those in need. I want to see visions of dinner with friends and singing around bonfires,
yeah,
talking about what Jesus has done over coffee or other beverages.
Right.
We went to a Cinco de Mayo party yesterday. That was pretty sweet. Why was it sweet? Taco bar was good, but that, you know, the games were cool, but I lost a lot. It was the fellowship.
Yeah.
It was the stock photo of Acts 2:42.
Come on.
We were together. We were breaking bread.
Yep.
It was flattened out in the form of a tortilla.
Yeah.
Some of them baked in a chip with a hint or a touch of lime. What's the difference? No idea. But there were two bags and they had different titles on them. The guac was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to value sacrifice and enjoy giving even when I'm tired. I just want to be alone. Because that's when God does the biggest stuff, it seems. I want the kingdom every day in my life.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you, brothers and sisters, want that?
Amen.
These passion groups, I've been talking with Nick a little bit about what you guys are doing down here, and I think it's awesome. I'm excited for you. Like,
yeah.
I've been doing some of the stuff in Lansing, and it's like God is doing amazing things with groups like these. There's a gentleman, I'm a landscaper, I dig holes and move dirt for a living, and there's a guy that works with me, and his name is Corey. And Corey and his wife Erin studied the Bible from October, November through February, became disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Baptized.
Yeah.
They repented.
Yep.
All that. And now we're teaching them to obey all of the rest of the stuff in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Mike and Mindy, there's another couple that they're part of this group, and Mindy is, they're a very special couple. They're awesome. And Mindy recently had some health problems, where within a very short period of time, became legally blind and deaf. Like that. I can't imagine what kind of issues that would create in a marriage. They've got two kids. It's hard enough when you can hear and see each other to communicate clearly.
Yeah.
Now throw in a huge dynamic changer there. They hadn't been able to have conversations and like figure this stuff out. Mindy went, she has cochlear implants now, and she can hear, but everything is kind of like more of a monotone computer-sounding voice. She can't distinguish voices between, but she can hear now, which praise God for modern medicine,
yeah,
and for restoring that. Amen. But because of these groups, this group that they're a part of is called Marriage on a Mission. And they get together as a group, and the facilitator gives them a little mission to go out and do. And go out on a date and talk about this, or reach out in this way, or something like that. But going, doing marriage on a mission. And then one couple stays back and tries to corral and keep kids alive. Honestly, is what happened. Mike and Mindy went out on this date, and they began to talk about something that was in this topic to talk about on their date. They went somewhere in a conversation that they didn't even know they needed to go. And the depth of their marriage has changed immensely. They hadn't yet talked about this handicap between the two of them on a level that they needed to. And they didn't even know the level they needed to, but because of this passion group, because it was kind of set up and facilitated, that happened. And yeah. Praise God for that. That's part of the Acts 2:42. They're together with a group of believers, went out to do a common thing, and then God did something miraculous.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've seen that scripture lived out time and time again. Will you dream about the good life in the kingdom with me? With each other?
Come on.
As a church, dream about that. Are you feeling challenged and inspired?
Yeah.
I hope you are. I know even talking about this and doing this lesson, I am convicted and challenged. And I hope that you're inspired. I hope that you're inspired to live that God life and not just the good life that He has to offer for you.
Yep.
See, we've got this word, too, that's kind of falling out of favor, it seems like, called conversion. Right? When someone becomes a Christian, they're a convert, right? Conversion implies a complete, like, wholesale change that has happened. An about face in the military where you're going one way, you turn and you go the other way. It means that we are one way and then now we are to be another. And isn't that exactly what Jesus called us to do? To accept His vision of the kingdom and the good life, to convert our desires to His. Not to see how His fit into ours, but to convert ours to His. So we're not just winning souls and checking off the salvation box for people. We're helping them convert to the kingdom life, the God life. Yeah. And this is why we do Bible studies and we talk about discipleship and we're in each other's homes.
Yeah.
It's real. What I want to put before you today is this. When you live the kingdom life, you will make disciples.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Yep.
You will convert souls for Christ by His power.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yep.
By His power. You'll run dry and get burned out. It's by His power that it happens. It's going to happen. I know it. I've seen it. You're seeing it firsthand right now. There's a baptism yesterday.
Yep.
There's water in this tank. I don't know if you can see it up here. There's water in that. I know it doesn't get filled up for nothing, right? It's not like for something to come in and drink out of. That's for a baptism to happen.
Come on.
That's for someone's life to be changed.
Yeah.
It's the moment where their sins are washed. And they're cleansed. And they rise up a new creation. Amen?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Look at that last verse that we read. In the last line of that. And it says, the Lord added to the number day by day, or daily, those that were being saved. When you immerse yourself in Christ's kingdom, you'll bear fruit. It'll happen. You'll have an incredible impact.
Come on.
Maybe it's baptizing people that you're meeting. Maybe it's deepening someone's walk with Christ. Maybe it's serving someone who is hurting beyond all belief that you didn't have a clue about. But now that you love them like Christ does, you see that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's completely under the radar. But you're impacting people's lives for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's just what happens. But the opposite is true. You can share your faith every day and do Bible studies and never really see any change, never really see anybody converted to Christ. If we aren't really living in that kingdom, living in that kingdom that the angels long to see, we can't live a dual enrolled life, you know, in this world and in Christ's kingdom. He says it. You can't. Helping people come to Christ is not merely saying a prayer or dunking them underwater either. It's helping them change allegiances, to convert their desires, to value the kingdom of God above our own and their own ideas of the good life.
Yeah.
And that can't happen if there, that can't happen unless they're shown a tangible example of a New Testament Christian living the true good life of love, of sacrifice, of devotion, and of awe. And when people do see that kingdom, what I've seen is that they are drawn to it like a magnet.
Yeah.
They're drawn to it, just like the angels were. I ask you this, church, what are we showing our friends? What are we showing our neighbors?
Right.
Our co-workers, our family, our classmates? Are we showing them this Acts 2:42 thing, this kingdom of God that is so stinking amazing that it can't be contained, that it has marched forth for thousands of years?
Come on.
It's happening. It's going to do things. It's going to change lives. Or are we showing them? Are we showing people our endless pursuit for our ideals?
Right.
You look all over in society and see where that ends up. You look at the richest people, not just saying rich people are unhappy, because there's some rich people that are happy too. There's some rich people that love the Lord our God. Amen. But money doesn't do it.
No.
Money doesn't do it at all. It's living in that kingdom.
Yeah.
Living for Christ. See, most people, they don't really open their Bibles up to read about the kingdom of God, do they?
No.
You know, we're talking about the gal at Rite Aid. She didn't have a Bible in front of her. Like, oh, perhaps that's the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. No. We have to be that interface. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have to be that interface, that thing that they see, that gospel, that good news that they see.
Come on.
It's us.
Yeah.
We're that stock photo.
Yeah.
Why are you so happy?
Yeah.
Because I love God.
Yep.
And now I'm exhausted because that's awesome. I love that story. I love it. He did something hard, did something uncomfortable to tell someone about the love that he has for his God and Savior. That's the gospel that people see.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes the only glimpse they get is of you.
Yeah.
They should be wondering at us. They should be wondering, why are you so happy?
Yeah.
Things are weird and hard right now in the world. Why are you so joyful? They should be taken aback by our love and our selfless service.
Come on.
They should see the kingdom of God. They should see the passions within us for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, you want to actually live the good life?
Yeah.
It's kind of weak. You're still thinking about it, like, I don't know, I kind of like being able to find the remote.
Do you,
church, do you want to live that good life?
Yes.
That kingdom life, amen?
Yes.
Here's what our minds do sometimes, I don't mind it. We think the New Testament was this special time.
Yeah.
It's this place that happened, where amazing miracles happen, and we look back and wonder in the same way that the Old Testament area looked forward.
Right.
They were looking forward, and we're looking back like, whoa, how, whoa. Here's the reality. We live in that New Testament era.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Amen? We're waiting for Jesus just like they were.
Yep.
When's he coming back? How's he going to do it?
Yeah.
We have the Holy Spirit just like they did. If there is a difference, we've got a little more than they had. We've got these Bibles. They're on our phones, they're our tablets, they're in, you know, written text. We've got a little more than they had.
Yeah.
So why is it that when we read about our brothers and sisters, we think we can't have the same impact that they had?
Yeah.
We think, wow, Paul was really doing it.
Come on.
He was rocking it out. That guy was, whew. There's only one reason that we can't have the same impact as them. There is a reason, but there's just one of them. And it's that we don't have the same vision of the kingdom driving our lives. We settled for a counterfeit kingdom and worldly promises. Ugh. Like, you know, you look at that picture of the house, you're like, yeah, that's kind of a nice house. Like, wouldn't mind having that. But if it comes with that label, this counterfeit kingdom, ugh. A worldly promise.
Yeah.
Man, if I just excel to this level in my education. Mm-hmm. This worldly promise.
Ugh. Come on.
Yep.
It like makes me cringe hearing that. Let's live the kingdom life, church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to share a closing thought with you about what God can do when we dream about His kingdom and live the kingdom life. Amen?
Come on,
boy. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. It says here, listen and behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, but since it had no depth of soil, Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing in yield, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold.
Yeah.
We read that, and we read about these three different soils, and think a lot of times that we can start thinking about that as like, three bad hearts, you know, before you become a Christian. Then you got this good soil heart. But I think if we're honest, when we read that, I think that can describe Christian hearts too, right?
Yeah.
Pretty darn sure.
Yep.
And I wonder even right now, like, is there seed, like, you know, we're kind of sowing seeds here with the scripture, the good news.
Yeah.
Where's it landing? Mm-hmm. Whenever the word is preached or pondered, it falls on our hearts as Christians in one of these three ways. And there's times when Satan is attacking and the word doesn't even get a foothold.
Yep.
He's like a strong breeze or something, just blowing it around so it can't even have a chance to sit, get some moisture, and take root. I think, quite frankly, I believe that the word gets choked out a lot too by these competing visions of the kingdoms that we talked about earlier, these ideals of the good life.
Yeah.
It chokes it out. I don't want to focus on any of those first three soils though. I want to talk about the kingdom heart. The good soil that receives and believes in Christ's vision of the good life. The person who acts and lives out Acts 2, 42 through 47. See, Jesus explains in the fourth soil, he talks about a little bit later on in verse 20 when they're asking, Jesus, I need some explanation on this. He kind of breaks it down for them. Those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word of God and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold.
Yep.
Let's stop and think about that for a minute. 30, 60, or 100-fold. If we reject the good life and live the God life in His kingdom, it's not a question of if you'll be fruitful. It's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when, but definitely not if. The question is, is it 30, 60, or 100?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
What is it? In Lansing, I know we used to look at the scripture, and the church was a lot smaller, and we're like, man, you know, kind of 30 people. We were kind of getting together, and we wondered what it would look like if the church started growing. And then God did it as we became sold out for Him and His mission.
Yeah.
And for His people that His heart was breaking for in the Lansing area. We finally got on board with that. And then it grew. And it was at 60 for a little while. And now, it's over 100.
Yeah,
the 30, the 60, the hundreds. It's happening.
Yeah.
We're living in it today. It's happening. It is taking place. It's not just a cool thing that happened when Paul was doing his thing.
Yeah.
When we read about Peter.
Come on.
No, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
It's what God is doing now with His New Testament people who live it out today.
Yeah.
What will it be for you, church? 30? 60? What if it's 100? When you meet God, how many people, like, I don't know how that's going to be. I've got kind of goofy ideas about that because I don't know how to concrete something there. But what are there going to be 30 people that are like there with you because your heart broke for them? You shared the good news with them?
Come on.
Because your ideal became that of Jesus Christ. Will there be 60? Maybe there's 100 people hanging out. Because you lived that life.
Yeah.
How many people will these passion groups impact? It'll impact how many?
Yeah.
How many? I think it's awesome to dream about that.
Yeah.
Remember this. We won't have 30-fold or 100-fold impact by focusing on having impact, though, will we?
Right.
Focus on impact, you just go, that's a rabbit trail in itself.
Yeah.
You have that kind of impact by making the soil right, by getting your heart right,
yeah,
by getting that kingdom focus and watching as God makes things grow.
Yeah.
As you become part of His story, history. Not your story, His story.
Come on.
God makes it grow. We're still a part of that kingdom that Peter preached into existence in Acts 2.
Yeah.
And it'll keep on growing as long as it's filled with kingdom people and people in this New Testament hero lifestyles like Peter.
Yeah.
Like Paul. Like Nick. Like Dee. Like Peter and Anna. Those are some names that are in this church, aren't they?
Come on.
Because we're living in that era. Amen?
Amen.
Bow with me and pray, please. Father in heaven, God, you're an amazing God.
Yeah.
And Father, your ideals, the good life, the God life that you call us to live, God, is the most fulfilling thing possible, God, that we could possibly do with our lives. God, thank you for your word and for your scripture, God, that brings that to light. Father, may we be those New Testament people, God, that impact 30, 60, 100 people, God, for your glory,
yeah,
for your praise, for your honor, that people may escape hell, God, and enjoy eternity with their Creator. God, we love you and thank you so much, God, for the opportunity to be called your sons and daughters, God. We know it came at a high cost, Father. God, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Clay.